All right, well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm very honored, very blessed to be here with you. I have been saved 35 years, and I was 11 years old when I came to Christ, and I was, my whole family was saved and raised and brought up in the Spanish-speaking assemblies in Houston. So I didn't start going to English-speaking assemblies till I was like 19 years old. And I remember one of the speakers were, you know, speaking the older language, you know, he said the Holy Ghost. I said, oh my word, what is that? He said, is there a ghost running around the place? It really startled me. I had never heard it called the Holy Ghost before. I realized, oh, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, it took me a minute to be able to get my bearings on that. But I praise the Lord for having saved me and what he's done in my family's life. Won't have time for that right now. Whenever you're going to visit a place, and I know Tommy was going to be here, I started thinking, Lord, I don't know the people. I don't know what their issues are. I'm not sure what they've studied, where to go. So what would you have me to share with them? And this is what the Lord laid on my heart very heavily. So I'm not sure if it's going to apply to you or not, but God's Word always blesses us anyway, doesn't it? Amen? Isn't that true? All right, praise the Lord. I was commended in 1994 in Houston from the Spanish assemblies. Then for the last 9 years, I've been in Michigan. And I'm more of an itinerant speaker now. I used to be more concentrated in local assemblies. So, anyway, I don't want to go on and on about that. I've been married 25 years, 3 children, 20 years old, 18 years old, and 10 year old. And so just thanking the Lord that they're saved and serving the Lord. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. I'm going to read a few other verses. I really want to just focus on verse 2 for now. Focus on verse 2. Well, we'll read a few more just because Isaiah 43 is so exciting to read. Oh my word, you read that. You just like feel like jumping up and you know, grabbing the sky. It is so exciting. So let's just look at it. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. Nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, and since you are honored and I love you, I will give you give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. And I better stop there because I keep going and going. I just love that chapter. All right? But I want to focus on these verses in verse 2. Now, you notice that there's three things he talks about. He talks about waters, he talked about rivers, and he talked about fire. All right? Each one represents different tests that come into our lives. And by my age, if you want to know, you haven't guessed it yet, I'm getting close to 50. All right? There's been plenty of waters, there's been plenty of rivers, and there's been a lot of fire. A lot of fire. Right? But I praise God for that. These are really promises. If you look at it, he says, when you pass through them, they're not gonna drown you, they're not gonna overflow you, you're not gonna get burned. But we need to get these promises and understand them and take them in perspective, because many a believer has drowned. Many have gotten burned. And so how do we understand this passage? Well, what is God trying to say to us? All right, well, let's look at a couple of thoughts that the Lord brought to mind. You read the whole chapter and you look at the flow. First of all, he's talking about when he was bringing the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and they're suddenly caught, and they have the wall of water behind them. And then in front of them, here comes the Egyptians, right? Everybody's seen Moses, right, in the movie? You've seen the picture? And so what you see then is the Israelite people are caught between a rock and a hard place, if you will. The waters are there, and you don't know what to do. Oh, God, what do I do? There's a wall here, and I don't see a way out. And then I look the other way, and I see the enemy coming this way. And I'm baffled. And that's the way life is. Secondly, he talks about rivers. And again, the Egyptian people are going through the desert, and they finally get to the promised land. And when they get to the promised land, there's a river in the way. And it was a time when the waters were coming in a big flow. It was that time of year when they were kind of flooding, right? And they come, but God had promised Joshua, that is, you're going to go and you're going to take the promised land. I'm going to get you there, but Lord, how am I going to get there? There's a river in the way. And there's, it's coming fast and it'll sweep us away. How are we going to get all this multitude across? So God made a way so they could cross in dry land. So again, it's you made a promise. How am I going to get there? There's obstacles in my way. And I just don't see how I'm going to get there. But God supernaturally worked so that they could get across. Then we have fires. Then we have fires. So the way I look at it is, they come in all angles, in all shapes, in all sizes, the different obstacles, walls, trials that come into our lives. And so the fires, again, we read in chapter 3 of Daniel, and I want to go there in a minute. Why don't we go there now? Go to Daniel chapter 3, because I want you to understand a principle here behind the fire, behind the waters, behind the rivers, which are obstacles, which are trials, which are different things that come into our lives, and they back us up against the wall, and we don't know what to do. I like the way Romans puts it. We don't even know how to pray. And the Spirit kind of says it for us, but the prayer is, it's like, I don't know what to say. God, I don't even know how to pray. I see the wall, I see the river, I see the fire. What do I do? And this is one of those "what do you do" moments, where the three men were basically squeezed. All you have to do is bow to the idol, and you don't have to go through the fire. See, it's that simple. It's that simple. All you have to do is just back away from your testimony. You don't have to hold on to your principles. Just back off. Look at how they respond to that pressure. Let's start from verse 16. Verse 15. If you don't do it, I'm gonna throw you into the fire. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire." There you go. There's your fire. There's your fire. Like, I could step out of this trial. I can step out of it. But that's not God's will. God wants to fulfill the promise of Isaiah that he said he's going to get me through the fire and it's not going to burn me. And so they could have, at that moment, just simply bowed. Who cares? Who's going to care? But they said, no. See, there's a principle here. If I do that, I'm going the way of the world. If I do that, I'm going to deny the living God. And I'm not going to go there. And so they said, listen, one thing we know, that God is able to deliver me from this fire. And he will deliver us out of the fire, out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, see, here's the thing. See, we know he can, and I know that I can pull myself out of this. It's easy. But that's not God's will. He's going to get me through this. But if he chooses not to, you see, because I know people who have prayed, and God has gotten them out of the fire. I know people who have prayed, and I buried them. I had to do the funeral. God didn't get them out of the fire. So the promise is according to God's will, you see. And it depends on the circumstance. And in this particular circumstance, they say, listen, God, we're going to go through this fire. And if God, in his holy and perfect will, says, you're gone, I'm gone. But I'm not going to deny my faith. I'm not going to deny the living God. I'm going to walk through it. And if he says, yes, bless his name, because he can do it, O king. It's not in your hands. I'm not going to die because you say so. I'm going to die because God says so. And so, what a tremendous answer. What a deep faith these men had. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve the your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. I'm not going to back away from a trial, but I'm going to have God see me through it. And of course, you know what it says. You continue reading. You know, you're familiar with the story. Their clothes didn't even smell. Their clothes didn't even smell. It's amazing, isn't it? They didn't even smell like smoke. And so, what do we see in all of these things? That these were promises really made to the people of Israel. But we enter those promises through Christ. We know that they're true for us as well. You know, that God says to me, there's going to be waters, there's going to be rivers, there's going to be fires, and they're not going to drown you, they're not going to burn you, you're going to be able to get through them. And so what do we see? Moses said, today you're going to see the great deliverance. And he prayed, and what happened? The waters opened up. And they were able to walk through. And then we see that Joshua is up to the Jordan River, and again, they open up and they walk across in dry land. All right, and then we see the fire here where they didn't get burned. Now, here's a couple of things. In order for us to know the faithfulness of God and to know how His promises come true, we're going to have to walk through the water in order to show, so that God can show us what He can do. How are you going to know He gets you through the waters unless you go through the waters? How are you going to know He got you through the fire and give testimony of God's graciousness and power unless you go through the fire? How are you going to know He can open the rivers and get you through unless you're there under that circumstance? Because I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what fire, what river, what obstacles in your way. I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know you people. You see, but I can tell you one thing. I have been under fire for the last 3.5 years. And I was telling Ono here, it seems as if the Lord is just squeezing me. And I'm like, Lord, how long are you going to squeeze me? How long are you going to put the fire under my feet? And the funny thing is, when I was first in a trial, I'm sitting here crying like a baby. Why? And now it's like, okay, Lord, I'm learning to quit questioning you. I'm learning to just trust you. You know what you're doing. And then here's what I learned. I used to preach very easily. You have to have faith. You have to have faith. You know, trust God. And I'm in the trial and I'm sitting here pouting. I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't I preach to everybody? They have to trust God and have faith. Then where's my faith? And the trial of fire showed me that I didn't have faith. Oh, very superficial. Very superficial, very thin. And the Lord keeps squeezing. I'm going to squeeze you until you learn to trust me. That's so hard, Lord. Yeah? And that's why I keep squeezing. And that's why I keep lighting up the fire, you know, until you learn. And I'm still not there, you know, and nothing has changed as far as the circumstance, but my whole attitude has changed. So, well, Lord, I'm learning to trust you. I'm learning to trust you. So you're not going to learn about the waters and the rivers and the fire unless God puts you there and you go through it. And then you can say, wow. God's promises are powerful and tremendous. And so in the water, in the rivers, in the fire, God's presence is with you. Whether you know it or not, acknowledge it or not. He always makes a way. He always makes a way. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians now. Let's look at some New Testament principles on these thoughts. Look at some New Testament principles. 2 Corinthians. All right, and let's go to chapter 4. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is now talking about the reality of Christian life. The reality of Christian life. Because so many times as Christians, we base our life on the assumption, listen to what I'm saying now, on the assumption that, God, I'm serving you. I've committed myself to your service. I've been living for you all my life. Therefore, you owe me one. Listen to what I'm saying. So many people, I serve God all my life, and then I get to this point, and I can't believe He did this to me. Forget God, and they walk away. After all I did for God, He's going to do this to me? Then why serve Him? You see, that's looking at it wrong.
I'm blessed that I'm even saved.
And God isn't waiting for me to give him an approval or not. He's got a perfect and holy will, and I have to understand that. And I don't serve him so that at the end, okay, God, you owe me a favor. Come on, where's the blessing? Take away the cancer because I served you. Don't burn me anymore because I've been good. And we can't do that with God. See? And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Well, every one of us can identify with this. And afflictions from all angles and all ways. And everybody knows what your affliction is. It's all kinds of afflictions, right? All kinds of afflictions. And so what Paul is saying is, I'm under pressure. I'm constantly under spiritual and physical danger. However, whatever pressure or affliction came his way, the word of God was not bottled up. He still was unleashing God's word, and God was doing a mighty work. But I like what he says. He goes, even though all these afflictions are coming our way, we are not crushed. We are never not crushed. What it means is, in the Greek, is to press or to squeeze with a force that destroys or deforms. He's talking about his spirit. He's talking about his walk with God. With all the afflictions that come, with everything that is coming my way, I am not crushed. It also could mean to distress with mental or bodily pain, to trouble greatly or grievously. Somebody put it this way. It could also mean to be afflicted with arthritis, where it just like takes over your bones to where it cripples you. There's a friend of mine back in Michigan who was about 6'5", very athletic, very strong, very built, but he got crippled by arthritis, and now he walks like this, literally. And he's young. Pretty soon he won't be able to walk anymore. His legs are pretty soon going to be crushed to the point where they no longer can function. So Paul says, I'm being afflicted in terrible ways, but I'm not crushed. I'm not crushed. Satan is not going to get his way, not going to paralyze me in my Christian walk. And then he says, perplexed, but not despairing. What? Perplexed means that he was at a loss. He was at a wit's end. He was at the end of his rope, yet there was a way out. He was almost defeated, yet he plunged through. And isn't life perplexing? Sometimes things come to your life and you're just like, what's going on, Lord? I can't make sense of it. I can't make sense of it. Why? And life just perplexes you, it baffles you, it throws you. But I've been walking with you all these years, and what I've seen and what I've had, I don't understand. And life will perplex you. See, that's reality. That's reality. And you sit there, and you're just at a loss. And notice 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. Paul's talking to this church, and he's talking to them about some of the trials that we're going through, and listen to what he says. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Man, he was under such a trial, him and his missionary team, and it was so bad that we're not going to live. We're not going to make it through. It was bad. It was bad. But notice his answer. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust. Underline that. In order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So he was in the fire. He was in the furnace. He was in the water. He was in the river. And it's like, that's it. We're gone. We're gone. I don't see how we're going to get out of this. And God supernaturally somehow got him through that trial. But he says, why? So you don't trust in yourself. So they despaired. They were so perplexed. that they were despairing even of life. All right, so it looks so helpless, but notice what he says, but we didn't despair. Listen to me, brother. But he didn't despair. He didn't lose. He didn't give up. Or he was never without hope. And then he says, continuing in chapter 4, he says, persecuted but not forsaken. Persecuted but not forsaken. The enemy of the cross pursued him constantly, and he suffered so much for Christ, and he was constantly being persecuted. But here's the reality that we hold on to, but not forsaken, not deserted or abandoned. The Lord Jesus will never leave your side when you're facing a difficulty. Now hold your hand right there. Hold your hand right there and go with me to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Listen to what the Lord says here. I mean, I'm sorry, what Paul says here. 2 Timothy 4:16. He says, at my first defense, listen, no one supported me. In my first defense, no one supported me. But where's Timothy? And where's Luke? And where's Silas? And where's all my buddies? Where are they? Sometimes your closest Christian friends will let you down. And you can turn bitter. You can turn bitter. And you can be so deflated by it. And my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord, here you go. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that through me the proclamation might be fully made, accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. And to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. See, because Paul knew that everybody abandoned me, but there's the Lord. He never let me go. And then he says this, because the Lord's going to be with me until it's time for Him to take me up. And I know that. I know that. Even if everybody else lets me down and abandons me, all my dear friends, all those guys who fought with me in the ministry, where were they? But God saw me through. And He's going to see me through in this, till it's time for me to be with Him in glory. Wow. And so he says, go back with me then to Corinthians. He said, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're not forsaken. I tell you what, the Lord never will leave your side. The Lord never will leave your side. You can count on that. The Scriptures say it. And when God makes a promise, like we saw in Isaiah, He's going to keep it. He's going to keep it. He's going to never leave your side. And then he says another tremendous thing. Struck down. Struck down. The idea is like a wrestling match. You ever seen a wrestling match? When all of a sudden one guy gets thrown down and pinned? That's the word he used. The Greek word is to be thrown down or to be knocked down with a weapon. Like if somebody whacks you with a bat and you're thrown down. And that's it. All they have to do is just finish you off, if you will. All right? He goes, we're struck down. The wrestler pinned me, threw me down. But notice what he says, though. He says, struck down, but not destroyed. But not destroyed. Wow. Wow. And so can you imagine they stoned him when he was going through the missionary trip, and they left him for dead? They whipped him. They did all kinds of things to him. We're struck down, but he says, not destroyed. MacArthur says this in his commentary. Paul may have been knocked down, but he was not knocked out. Well, he was knocked out, but he came back to life, right? Somehow God supernaturally worked. He triumphed not by escaping adversity, but by successfully enduring it. Did you get that? By walking through the fire, by walking through the waters and through the rivers. So listen, brothers and sisters, we are never crushed, though we may be afflicted. We don't despair, even though life is so perplexing. We're not forsaken, even when persecuted. We're never forsaken. We are not destroyed, even though we're thrown to the ground and it looks like we can't get up. And so let's go back to Isaiah then. Having said all that, let's look at how God works. Isaiah 43. And notice verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. And so God says to himself, okay, you got a sea in your way, you got water in your way? I'm going to make a way. You're going to see my power. You're going to see my power. And look at it. Look at it in verse 19. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. You will not be aware of it. I will even make a roadway in the desert and river in the wilderness. And rivers in the desert. Now, the whole point of a desert is that there's no river. Right? There's no water. That's the whole point of a desert, right? Okay, and so he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something supernatural. All of a sudden, there's going to be water where there shouldn't be water. In other words, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to get you through. So, God in His holy will can make a way through the sea, even though they could not see a way out. And God can make rivers in the desert, and it's the last thing you expect to see. But God can do it. And so, I'm not sure what you're going through right now or what you're going to go through, what God is going to bring to your life. But here's one thing that Paul said, and just listen, 2 Corinthians 4:1, we do not lose heart. See, because what I didn't read to you is 2 Corinthians 4, before he said all this, starts out, we don't lose heart. And then it ends out with the same phrase. He says it twice. We don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. And yet, how many Christians lose heart? They're like flat tires. All the air is let out of their face. You don't know what happened to me, brother. No, I don't. I know one thing, though. I don't lose heart. So, let me just, and I'm going to end a little short on purpose, you know. But I want you to consider four questions. All right, four questions I have for you. In the last significant trial in your life, how did you respond? Okay? For example, I told you that I was sitting there pouting at first, right? And the Lord was not going to let back until I stopped that. How are you did respond in the last significant trial? Secondly, have circumstances in life caused you to depend on the Lord? Because that's the point. And God will never change the circumstance, but He will cause you to depend on Him. Alright, thirdly, are you investing in the lives of others through prayer, encouragement, or other practical areas? Because the ones that God can use the most effectively are the ones that are in the fire and in the water and in the rivers. Fourthly, do you tend to wallow in your current trial or circumstance, or do you weigh the experience in light of eternity? In light of eternity. And so, the promise was, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, according to the will of God. Brothers and sisters, be strong and be encouraged. Be strong and be encouraged. If you have the right vision, you won't lose heart. If you understand that God has His purposes, you won't lose heart. This is where your faith becomes real, and God stretches that faith, you know, so that you won't lose heart. So get up if you're down. Be encouraged. Be strengthened and realize, God, I have to learn to trust you as I'm in the waters and the rivers and the fires of life. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. And thank you for these tremendous promises that you're going to be with us as we go through life's experiences. And I don't know what's going on in my brothers and sisters' hearts, but I pray that you would strengthen and encourage their hearts, that they would not lose heart, but they would get up and have a fresh vision of you, that they would serve you in a powerful way. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Amen.